One of the coolest parts about being a software founder is having a company that you have equity in that eventually one day you could sell. But also one of the coolest parts is being able to bring on a team that helps you get to that stage, that helps you accelerate, and sharing that win, sharing that final goal of that sale with that team, giving them options, giving them equity in the company. But how do you do that? And what are the best things? And what are the things that people have done that have not worked out well and it makes them struggle with that process? I had Jason Atkins on. He shares all that you need to know about employee stock options, when to do it, how to do it, why to do it. You're going to really want to hear what he has to say if you're looking at giving your employees, your team, a part of the company. It's really important. Check this out.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
And welcome to Sastery in the Making. So excited to have you here. Thank you very much. I am Matt Wallach. I am your host. My job is to help people scale and grow their software companies. And in doing that, I bring you guests who can help you do that. And so I'm super excited about our guest today. Jason Atkins is here with us. Jason, how you doing?
Great, Matt. Awesome to be here. Nice to meet you, everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Love this guy. He super knows his stuff. And Jason, let me tell everybody about you and what you do and who you are. So Jason's the co-founder and chief revenue officer at Cake Equity. And really what they do is they simplify the way startups and scale-ups grow their business. They help manage equity, issue options globally. They manage capital raises and a lot more. And really in his spare time, like me, he's a family man. Not like me, he's a surfer. That's why he's in California and from the Gold Coast in Australia. I never have learned surfing, although it looks pretty cool. He's also a futurist and an investment analyst. So I'm really excited to hear what he has to say. Jason, thanks for coming on the show.
No, it's great to be here, Matt. Really love sharing what we've learned around equity for startups. We've been working really hard at this now for quite a few years. And, you know, it's an exciting space to be. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do think it's exciting. But, you know, tell me what you're doing lately and what's coming up for you guys at Cake Equity.
Yeah, so the main focus for us is always around, you know, customer love for our users. So making sure their experience is as great as possible. You know, that's largely tied into something we call, you know, like the Cake way. We want everyone to have peace of mind that their equity is just really under control, you know, from the founders. They want to know their equity is sweet, you know, and employees kind of want to know that what they have is safe and secure and it's going to be there, you know, when there's an exit. And, you know, so we want to make sure that everyone's, you know, pretty happy with their equity, but that they don't have to know all the complexities, you know, like, so we work pretty hard on that because it's a crazy complex space. So that's the core of, I think, any sort of, you know, growth SaaS is to build that customer love. And then excitingly for us, we're expanding in the US at the moment. So we've been up here now for a few months and I'm spending a lot of my time now in LA and Denver, particularly. Really love those ecosystems. We feel like they're really culturally aligned to us down in Australia. And as you mentioned, you know, the city where we're from. So yeah, pumped about expanding up here in the US. And on the product side of things, we've got a cool new plan, like our third plan, which is specifically for global teams. We saw over the last couple of years, many of our later stage customers, sort of Series A plus, that were having teams in 2, 3, 4, 5, even 8, 10 countries, if some of the bigger ones, and handling your equity across that is like super crazy difficult. So we've got a fantastic new product that massively streamlines that. And so we're pretty excited to be continuing to take that into market as well.
Oh, I love that. That sounds amazing. I want to go back though. Why did you start Cake Equity? What happened back then?
Yeah, so I had a innovation entrepreneurship passion. You know, I had just had my kids and like it's a little bit deep, but you know, something happened. I just felt like I needed to contribute at a different level. And I've heard, you know, from other people, they get this urge around that time. And I just wanted to dig deep and see, you know, how much I could contribute. And I thought, you know, the innovation space was just so interesting. We love how, you know, innovators are changing the world for the better. You know, not all innovation is useful necessarily, but I think through that innovation process, you know, so many of you know, the big problems are being tackled. So yeah, it's been an exciting place to be. I was very frustrated as well when I first started in tech at how complex equity was, you know, just talking to the specific problem. I mean, I've been in finance for, you know, a long time, which exactly how old I am, but, you know, I was a CFO before, you know, before this. And so, you know, very experienced finance person and, you know, handling safes and notes and subscription agreements and equity plan documents. And I was just shocked at the level of complexity. And I thought, how the hell is a regular founder going to be able to tackle all this without a finance background? Like, it's literally nearly impossible. So then they outsource it all to lawyers, which is cool, and they're very valuable. But again, it's still super complex, costly, and slow. And I just thought, wow, you know, like, we should be able to one click the hell out of this, you know, and take this whole space into the future and create a much better environment for founders to operate in. So yeah, it's been, and I'm really stoked I chose it because it's been a really fun journey.
That's awesome. I love it. And what do you like best? What's the best thing about working with SaaS startups and early stage companies?
Yeah, look, I really couldn't be more happy with the space I work in. I feel like it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a life hack working in the innovation space. There's so much energy, so much creativity. You get to learn really fast all the time. It's also quite fun and relaxed. You know, you don't have to wear anything in particular. You can kind of just
no
be yourself.
No suits and ties here, no.
No suits and ties, you can be yourself. I remember in my corporate years, you know, I would just kind of had two personalities. You know, I had my work personality and then I had my private one, and I didn't really like that. And I just love being in an environment where it's applauded that you share who you are and how you are, and we make space for each other. And from that authenticity and real energy, that's where some incredible, you know, innovation and real happiness occurs. It's a wonderful place to be. Pretty fortunate.
I love that. That's fantastic. I know that you know, one of the reasons why early stage founders do this and why you help them is, you know, they people enjoy their team, and their team is something that's really powerful, something that actually helps the company grow and scale. And with a lot of these teams, a lot of founders I speak with right now are starting to think about, hey, we need to make sure we take care of our team. We want to keep them around. So people want to give them some stock and give them some piece of the company. And I think that's natural. I've been on both sides of that, both receiving that as an employee and giving it as a founder. What are some of the mistakes when founders start to think about, hey, I want to give some of this to my team. I want to set up something. What are some of the mistakes that founders are making when they do that?
Yeah, it's a really, really tricky process, unfortunately. So the one big issue that just exists is, and this is something that Cake is really trying to tackle, is just the amount of work that it takes to implement a scheme. So I feel like by the time the founder, and I'm talking quite early stage here before you've got a CFO or something like that, you know, by the time you go to your lawyer and you sort of learn about it and you get your documents in place, and then, you know, you kind of don't have enough time even sometimes to get the offer letter signed by your team, or you can't afford to have the attorney, you know, like, I'm not trying to be, you know, but it's just so much of it and it's so costly. And so unfortunately they just kind of burn out with the whole process. And then what happens is you don't even have a properly implemented scheme. And in that circumstance, you could have allocated 10% of your company. So just say you've raised, for argument's sake, $4 million at 20 posts. So you've just given away $4 million worth of equity without getting any real benefit. Because if you don't implement the scheme properly, if your team members aren't aware of how many options they've got, what percentage of the company it is, what the vesting rules are, you know, that the company is going to go up. If you haven't built an ownership culture that matches your equity plan, then you're just essentially throwing a huge amount of money out the window, you know, and it's such a poor outcome. So I think there is an awareness around that, but then how do you then get over the huge hurdle of the amount of work, you know, that is involved, and how do you build that culture? And certainly at CAKE, we love to help tackle that. But before we get onto solutions,
let me, I do want to understand. I know you're passionate about this. You want to dive in this, but you said something right there that I found really interesting. You talked about making sure you have a marriage between your ownership or between your culture and the ownership plan. So how does that all work, and what do you mean by that?
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, the traditional sort of relationship for an ESOP is mainly legal and financial, technical, you know, so it's like, you've got to see your lawyer, you've got to sign the document to have the scheme, you've got to agree what the plan rules are going to say. So what are the rules going to be to govern the scheme? And then, you know, you've got to get the offer letter signed by the employee, and then, you know, then there's vest. So there's all this technical stuff you got to do, which you do need to get done, right? And that's the bit that's more often actually done. But if you don't create the ownership culture, then it's just a huge cost to the company without achieving the benefits. And the benefits are attracting better talent and engaging them in a more meaningful way, you know, towards the goals of the company. And then
getting them thinking like an owner.
Exactly. I mean, everybody can understand the concept that like someone with skin in the game is going to row a little bit harder, you know?
Yeah.
And then if everybody's got skin in the game and they feel like they're part of a real team where everybody's sharing in the success of that company, both from a cultural and day-to-day, you know, lifestyle perspective, or not lifestyle, but like, you know, getting that reward for your effort perspective, but then sharing in the financial benefit and seeing that they're sharing in the financial benefit, then, you know, you start to get those real business outcomes that you want. So ways that you can do that, right from the beginning, before you set up your equity plan, you decide as a leadership team, how are we going to build this culture? And some of the things that I advocate are, you know, you have to think about your team members as owners, just like investors, and give them updates just like your investors. You might tailor your update a little bit, you know, between your different stakeholders, but your employees, your team members want to know, what is the company worth? Are we achieving our goals? Is there another round coming? If there is another round coming, will the value of the company be going up? And if so, I'm benefiting. Great. And then how does that directly affect me? So what percentage of the company do I own? Am I going to get diluted? How much is the, you know, maybe you don't have to explain all the details, but just say someone's got 50K worth of options and it's going to be worth 100K. You want to make sure that they know that, right? Because that's going to help them in a range of ways, which then helps the company.
Yeah, no doubt. And I just want to make sure, you mentioned ESOP. I want to make sure everybody understands employee stock option program or plan. So just want to make sure everybody's clear on that, because some people aren't understanding of the different terms. But I agree. Yeah. I love that. Like, I've seen that a lot, where people give the ownership, they give some stock, but they don't get that buy-in, and they don't get that extra level of push or extra rowing, as you say. That can be deadly.
Oh, it's deadly. And I've done this so many times, even with our own company. I couldn't believe it. So we implemented the scheme. We gave frequently asked questions. And then the number of different types of questions that you get from your team is very surprising. And so I always advocate, give your team space to ask the questions. Have the extra meetings that they need to get them comfortable. Like, have I got a tax problem? Do I need to do anything with my tax each year? Like, there's all these funny questions that come out. Like, what are my vesting rules? Have I got the same as everybody else? Like, is it a fair scheme? Like, all these things create doubt in your team's mind and then reduce the efficiency of the scheme. So are we ever going to have an exit? Now, I don't think it's fair to sell the dream, like, you know, like a staunch, you know, oh, we're going to be a $1 billion company, blah, 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 we're all going to be rich. Now, I think you've got to be a bit cool about it, but I think you do want to sell the dream a bit, because, you know, great people want to be in this type of company, right? They want to be lifting heavy and they want to be benefiting. And then you can have this team
of heavy lifters if you get that culture right, which is critical, I think, because it's so bloody hard to build a company from scratch and get it through that, you know, 1, 5, 10 ARR. So it's a cool tool for that.
No kidding. So it's kind of a balance of selling the dream, but also kind of maintaining reality and not just getting into dream world the whole time, right?
No, exactly. That's always a balance there. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So we saw some of the mistakes they can make. What should they be doing? How can we set it up? You talked about making sure you balance the dream, get them excited about it, but also make sure they're grounded in reality, make sure the culture is right. What else can they be doing correctly?
Yeah, so if you're getting towards exit, so I think a lot of people in general, they want to know what's the actual dollar amount. So if you're ever close or around any sort of liquidity event, if anyone's having a liquidity event in the company, I think it's a great opportunity to champion that perhaps at the all hands. So sometimes these things are staged over vesting and exercising periods. So, but if exits are occurring, it's a wonderful way to connect the ESOP to, you know, real financial reward and outcome. So highlight those things. When you're hiring as well, I advocate, to attract the best talent, if you can create your offer in such a way that highlights the equity that the team are getting, then, you know, all the better. And you're hiring competitors, you know, the people that you're competing against for that talent might not be, you know, highlighting their equity plan as well as you are. And that gives you a real edge when you're hiring. So what is the equity worth this year? So you might be getting 10% equity on top of your remuneration over, say, 4 years. What's that worth this year? You might be able to tell a bit of a story about, you know, what that's going to be worth over the next few years if you hit your targets. And it just creates a better story in that potential team members' mind, and at a minimum they know that you're thinking about that for them, right? And that cultural alignment between the stakeholders, I think, can be really meaningful. So that's definitely one. And then big one is retention. So especially in those first few years, until your product is really strong and your brand is really strong, which again, unless you're like very lucky or very amazing, takes a few years to get going, right? A lot of your IP is in your team and you do not want them going anywhere. So what happens is there's like this ratchet mechanism as you go through the first few years. So just say, for argument's sake, you're getting 10K per year over 4 years, so $40,000 worth of options. In year three or four, because of the way the company's valuation can go up through those years via the rounds that they do, so you could raise it 10 million, you could then raise it at 20 million, 40 million. What happens is the dollar amount of the equity that they're getting each year doubles or triples or quadruples during the period. And it's an excellent retention tool, because then if they're comparing your remuneration to a new job, that's so much more difficult for those new, for them to move into the new role because they're losing out so much on their equity. So really great for retention. And then like exit, like let's talk a little bit about when people leave the company, like it sucks, but it is happening and it does happen. I always advocate be cool with your team members when they leave. You know, if they leave on their own terms, help them understand what they need to do to maintain and retain and get the best value from their equity, because there are specific requirements that if the team member doesn't follow them, they can end up with a really bad outcome, like have no equity without them even really knowing that that's happened, which is obviously a bit of a disaster. So be really, really good with your people when they leave. Make sure that they're aware of their obligations and what a good outcome is versus a bad outcome. And then if they happen to leave via redundancy or something that's not of their doing and they've been really otherwise, you know, a great team member, you can perhaps look to even create more generous outcomes, like accelerated vesting we've seen, just to sort of soften what is otherwise a pretty tough situation.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice there for sure. I've seen a lot of those situations. How is the price of the stock determined in an ESOP and when you're not a public company, right? So how do we come up with that price?
Yeah, so fortunately, there's a very strict and simple way to do that. It's called a 409A valuation. It's an absolute requirement that you utilize that process. Almost always done on an outsourced basis. So someone like Cake or your accountant, who's qualified to be able to look after that for you, will run that valuation process and then set the price. It should be done every time there's sort of a major event occur. So it does need to be done reasonably regularly so that you can keep that valuation in line with the real valuation of the company. So, yep, pretty straightforward process there.
Love it. So as we wrap up here, Jason, what advice would you have for software leaders who are just getting started and they know they want to do this, they haven't done anything yet? What advice can you give them?
Yeah, so I thought about this. There's always a million bits of advice. So I've chosen a couple of things. So I would say do things that don't scale first to get the flywheel turning. You do have to do that. But then I would advocate going as fast as you can into scalable systems and processes, and then working on improving your unit economics through that time and showing how those changes are, making it more scalable, improving your unit economics. What that's going to do is help keep you solvent, help you find product market fit faster. It's going to maximize your valuation and it's going to minimize your dilution. So, I think that's really a smart thing to do. If you can get into a quality accelerator, because a very simple one, but I just love accelerators for learning fast and hacking through that whole first phase, especially if you're a first time founder. And in relation to your equity, I'm going to just finish to say, use your equity from day one. I think you need really good experienced quality advisors around you, and you can utilize your equity plan to properly incentivize your advisors, and then you build more trust and they've got more skin in the game, and then they're more likely to be more valuable for you. Of course, with your first hires, be much more generous because perhaps you don't have the cash and you're going through some really difficult times. So really get them strongly engaged into your equity plan. And then you can use it for sweat equity as well, because raising capital's not that easy in general. So you want to make sure you can make your cash last as long as possible. So you can use it for sweat equity as well.
I love that. That's some really great advice. And I really love the idea of get into an accelerator. Thanks for the plug for our accelerator here, the SaaS Masterclass. No, wherever you find someone who can help you, give their advice, give their experience, share what they can give you so you can scale faster and not have to try and go through all the roadblocks and potholes on your own and figure them out. It's so much easier. And I wish I had somebody that would have just showed me the right path when I got started.
So much easier. Like, I was on the Gold Coast, like a pretty small town. We still are, but like just struggling for those quality mentors, that real experience. And when I got to Sydney, I was fortunate to get into Australia's top accelerator. It's called Startmate, backed by Blackbird. Crazy level of experience. Awesome. You're talking Atlassian, Canva, and just all these amazing people. And, it took Cake to a completely different level. So, yeah, highly advocate for getting experience around you.
I love that. Fantastic stuff. Well, sadly, our time has come to an end, Jason, but this has been a lot of great stuff. I know a lot of people are very interested in this, so I appreciate you sharing it all. How can our audience learn more about you and Cake Equity?
Yeah, look, thanks so much for having me. I really, really hope this was valuable. I'm a regular creator on LinkedIn. I'm on there all the time. So we're trying to put really good content out all the time, but keep things kind of fun as well. So you'll see things like surfing events, yoga events, intertwined with great content around equity. On the Cake website as well, cakeequity.com, we have blogs and guides and toolkits that are really, really helpful and free, to help you level up your equity. So yeah, check that out too.
Absolutely. I'll make sure that we put that in the description and show notes and all that stuff. So if you're watching or if you're listening, you'll be able to see that right there. Jason, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm very grateful, Matt. Love what you're doing. Keep up the great work. And good luck, everyone.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And everybody out there, thanks for coming. I really appreciate you watching and listening. I hope that this helps you get to the next level. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. That's going to get you all of the insights that we have coming up. We have more great innovators, creators, and leaders like Jason, so you're not going to want to miss those. Hit that subscribe right now, and you'll be good to go. Appreciate you coming this week. Take care. We'll see you next time.